Our God and Heavenly Father, in your presence are fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Thank you for calling us to your presence this morning. Lord, you brought us here because you know how much we need you, how much we need the healing of the heart, the mind, the body, and soul. Thank you for setting the Sabbath day aside to bestow upon us blessings that we can never receive any other day. Thank you again for replenishing our soul this morning through prayers and hymns of praise. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for touching our hearts with your living word that can really give us peace by not squandering tremendous amount of energy trying to judge others and things, but we can trust you over our life and all of our decisions. And as we want salvation and blessing for ourselves, we really want it for everybody else. I pray that your Holy Spirit guide us in the second hour of worship. May you take over my heart, my mind, my body and soul. And may you teach and preach the gospel to me and through me and to my brothers and sisters, that it may be well with us and our families. Give us the light of life and give us the knowledge of life. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be fully sanctioned and accepted in thy sight, for you are our God, our Savior, our strength, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, just in time, Paul. Again, welcome my brother and his wife and children here.
Amen.
And we also have Cole and Spencer. And I asked Cole yesterday, I can read his text and I felt joy in the text. And I asked him if he can prepare a piece of music for us this morning, and it seemed that he was happy to do so. So Cole, come on up here and I'm ready to be blessed. Amen. Amen.
You need the drums?
Yeah, it won't take too long.
No problem. No problem.
Oh, yeah.
Why? The blessings are increasing here. That is beautiful.
Very precise.
That is beautiful. You know, we would like to sing that song again, Paul. I think Val has the words. And I'd like the congregation to share that. Spirit of God, fall in this place and have your own way, like a consuming fire. You know, that is the one thing we need every day, the Spirit of God that dwell in us. And, you know, it takes a lot to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, think of parenting again, good parenting. How many times the kids can break the parents' heart and the parents still love them? And if parents who are limited can really love the children even when there is heartbreaks and heartaches, imagine what it takes really to grieve the Holy Spirit to depart from the heart of man. It is an unpardonable sin, and that is the only sin that is not forgiven when the Holy Spirit is completely grieved. It takes a lot. But when we pray, as the song has said, Spirit of God, come on this place. You know, the love of God will never, ever leave us. Never, ever leave us. The Spirit of God will never depart of us, because the price that Jesus paid is beyond human comprehension. And there is no way that Christ is going to give up on us at any time, especially when we are calling upon His Spirit to come upon our heart and mind and soul and upon this place. And that is my prayer, that it is the Spirit of God that guide all of our life and decision every day as feeble, struggling human being. And Jesus made the promise that I will never leave you, nor forsake you, even unto the end of the earth. And they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and delivered. Let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 14. And let us see how God's strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Actually, it is Luke chapter 13. We already covered Luke chapter 14. We're going to look at Luke chapter 13. And I pray, Spencer and Cole, that the Holy Spirit will begin that good work in you to complete it, that your own life be richly blessed, your family can be blessed, also the Church of Christ can be blessed, and great many people in the world can be blessed by that. Remember, it is God who has given you the skills and has given you parents who can support these gifts to grow in many different ways. This gift can be your ultimate power and blessing if you always think of using it to bless others. It can only grow, and your life will have a purpose, and the joy of heaven will always follow you. Okay, because you and I know there are a great many musicians who are highly talented, but there is no joy with them, and there is no contentment. They have to use drugs and alcohol and everything to be able to go to sleep. So it is not the gift. It is the Spirit driving the gift that make a difference in our lives. Amen? And you have blessed us this morning. Again, I would like to sing that song along with you when we have the words up there. So prepare to sing it again. All right? Whenever you have the time and the opportunity. You know, all of us human beings have weaknesses and have needs. Isn't that true? Uh-huh. All of us. You know, I know that most of us here, especially in this room, are very honest. And I'm not going to ask the question because probably if I did, I'm going to have lots of answers. If we sit down to write down our needs, spiritual needs, mental, physical, social, emotional, academic, financial needs, we're going to have hundreds of pages written down. And if we also sat down to be very honest with ourselves, to see all of the areas of weaknesses in our lives, we're going to see also great many of them. We commit mistakes and poor decisions to satisfy all of these needs. All of the mistakes that we make, actually all of the good decisions and all of the bad decisions that we make every day, we are trying to satisfy all of these mentioned or unmentioned needs. Now, the difference between us and Christ is this. God created us and knew exactly our every need. He also understands fully, much better than we do, about why we are making all of the decisions we are making to satisfy those needs. That's why the Apostle Paul said that, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So we should feel relieved. We should feel blessed. We should feel hopeful that God understands all of my needs and how they came about. All humanity overall have the same needs, but they have developed systems to deal with those needs. The best system and the healthiest one that I have discovered to deal with those needs is the spiritual one. Because everything has to do with the inner soul. Everything has to do with the inner soul. And down deep in the inner soul, there is a desperate, major need for love. And out of that need gets the affection and the attention and the acceptance and the approval and the sense of significance. And out of all of this spring another tree of fear, frustration, hurt feelings, and anger. And then all of the decisions of life because we're trying to satisfy that need. And that's the reason why we are damaged in many areas of life. And that is the reason why Jesus had to come.
Jesus had to come to be born in the same human flesh of a woman just like us, yet by the Holy Spirit. His birth was miraculous, of course. And yet the Bible said that he was born by the Holy Spirit. And through his own birth, through his own life, he was tried and tested and tempted in all things by the enemy to satisfy his inner need. Yet the Bible said, without sin. And because of that, he is fully able to understand our nature as human beings. Because he was God and he was man. He has gone through it all, and he is able not just understand our needs, but he is able to help us overcome all of our weaknesses. You know, the Apostle Paul have gone through his ups and downs, even as an ordained, consecrated, one of the most powerful teachers and preachers of all time. He was given multiple gifts of the Spirit I don't have. And as I compare his life with the life of many others, he has much greater spiritual gifts than many prophets. And yet we see him in Romans chapter 7 struggling with his needs. He says that the law of God is perfect and just and good. And I agree with that 100%. You know, I couldn't have said those words years ago. I was very afraid, because if I say that the law of God is perfect, just and good, I have to obey it. Right? And of course, at that time, I didn't have the knowledge and the understanding of God's love and his word and how he works in the children of mankind. I was very much raised by black and white. Yeah, if you are truly a Christian, then you have to obey the law of God. Pragmatically and theoretically and theologically, there is truth in that. I think the stigma and the problem is in how it works. You know, if a parent expected a child to be perfect, there's something wrong with the parent, right? Something wrong with the parent. If your child is 2 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, and you expect him to have all the knowledge and all the experience to do everything right, then there's something wrong with the parents. Jesus knew who we are before he placed us into our mother's womb. And that's what the Bible said. And regardless, he brought us with a divine purpose out, and he knew exactly what kind of parenting we're going to have, what kind of homes we're going to have, what kind of country we're going to be living in. And he knew exactly everything about us. And he is still able and willing to reveal himself to us in a personal way and to bring us back to his own fold and to melt us and mold us. And even though the Apostle Paul had great powers, he said that the law of God is perfect, just, and good. To will is present with me, to do I find not. So even though he reached such a highest state of godliness and a higher state of servitude to Jesus, and his love for God and man was deep and strong as an apostle, yet he also recognized that he is struggling within, trying to satisfy those needs that he was raised with. And he found himself at times transgressing the law of God. And in the very same chapter he said, "Who shall rescue me from the body of this death?" Praise be to God, who has given us the victory through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the very reason why Jesus began to repeat himself in the four Gospels. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. And all those that come unto me, I shall no wise cast out. And he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. No branch can bear fruits unless it abide in the vine. For without me, you can do nothing. I am very released, very relieved about that. So it is not we who try to obey. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, that it is God who doth his own good will and pleasure in you. And Paul again said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And again he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, carnal, I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. And that's where the hope comes from. It comes from a personal relationship with Jesus. It comes from the notion, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I live and walk. Help me walk with thee. It comes from, I am nothing, and Jesus is everything. And that is where the power is. By him we live, move, and find our being. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, in which is all of us. All generations, all nations, all denominations, all religions, all people on the earth. And that comes under the umbrella of God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It didn't say just the Christians. When I was growing up, I believed he was just talking about the Christians. For God so loved who? The world. He created all people, all nations, after his own heart and image. That he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Now, after Jesus saves, he began the process of sanctification or the process of restoration. We are all damaged good. From our inception, as David said, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. We are living on a sinful earth. You know, you don't have to know the theology of the Bible. Just read the newspaper every day. To see how evil is destroying many precious souls. What is so ironic that many of the people who read the newspaper every day, who listen to the news every day, who see everything horrible happen, they are much more willing to believe in evil than to believe that there is also goodness. They don't want to call all of this evil sin, because if they call it sin, then they have to believe that there is righteousness. And that is what the devil has done to all humanity. He tried to steal the mind and to take hold on the heart. Jesus came to save us from that. I am no longer afraid to tell the world that I am a sinner, saved only by the grace and love of Jesus. My life is in the process of transformation from the old to the new. Once I come to Jesus as I am, and it is ironic that the Lord led Sandra to choose that song today, Just As I Am, by Charlotte Elliott. It's amazing that I had this in mind 2 weeks ago, and I was led by the Holy Spirit to preach a sermon on that topic, Just As I Am. And I went to read the words of that song again, and I read the story of that blessed woman, Charlotte Elliott, who have wrote that song. Did you know that she was invalid, that she was paralyzed? You didn't know that.
No.
Charlotte Elliott was a gifted musician, a gifted poet, but she was not a consecrated believer in Jesus. And in around 1817, 1798, an evangelist from England went to visit her family. At that time, she was sick, bedridden, and because of her sickness, she became paralyzed. And when the evangelist came, she said, he introduced the love of Jesus to her like none other could. And she decided, and he told her, Charlotte, just come to Jesus the way you are. You don't have to fix anything.
Right.
Just come to Jesus the way you are. And he is able to do everything that you cannot do for yourself. We're going to sing this song at the end of the sermon. And she decided on that very day, she said, something arrested my heart and I couldn't know what it is. And I decided to give my heart to Jesus just as I am, without one plea. With many a conflict, many a doubts. And she gave her heart to Jesus just the way she is. She was at the age of 30 at that time. And she made that day her birthday. Every year she would celebrate her birthday when she has given her heart to Jesus. That is the new birth. Much better than the carnal birth. That is the real spiritual birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man is born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But to tell you that, and to make the story short, Charlotte Elliott lived paralyzed until the age of 82. But the grace of Jesus was made perfect in her weakness. By the end of her life, she wrote 158 hymns. Just as I am is one of them. This is the song that have touched millions throughout generation and transformed great many lives. As a matter of fact, this is the song that was sung during my baptism and the baptism of others who were baptized with me. They would sing a verse and baptize a person, sing another verse and baptize the second. So I can never forget that song. And she went about to sell that song for the purpose of starting a charity to care for the poor children of clergymen. Her brother became a pastor. And he wanted to start an orphanage, a charity, to care for the poor and needy. And at the end of his own ministry, he said, you know, I have done so many things to bring in money for this charity. But with all of my ministry throughout the years, nothing have influenced the life of millions more than the song that was written by Charlotte. And I will read her story maybe sometime later. But at the end of her life, she was the most joyous, blessed child. And you should read her writings and all of the song that she had written. And she was looking forward to see the face of her Redeemer. She said, indeed, his strength was made perfect in my weakness. You know, we look at certain things in this world and we call them disabilities.
Right.
There is no such a thing in the eyes of Jesus as disability.
No.
Every condition on this earth is a great ability when the Spirit of God works upon the sons of man. Whatever spiritual weaknesses we have, whatever mental, social, emotional, academic, financial weaknesses we think we have, if we continually trusted to the love of Jesus and to the work of the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, daily and in time, you will discover that His grace has been and is sufficient for thee, and that His strength is always made perfect in our human weakness. Let us read the story that happened on the Sabbath day about that issue in Luke chapter 13, in verse 11. Here it is, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. Whenever you read the word spirit of infirmity, you got to understand this. Satan have agencies. We know that one third of the angels of heaven decided to follow him, so there are wicked angels. And many of these angels are assigned certain tasks to hurt God's children, knowing that mankind was created after the image of God, and Jesus paid the ultimate price of love to redeem his people back. So Satan and his angels know that if they touch and hurt one of his children, they are hurting him. So there is and are angels with specific tasks, and one of those tasks is to infirm and physically hurt God's people. Now, do you recall the story of Job?
Yes.
What did the Satan tell the Lord? Just let me touch him physically,
right,
and I will get him to curse you.
He never did.
So, this woman was hurt not because of her sin. It just happened that Satan hurt her for 18 years. Whether she was a believer in Jesus at that time or not, we do not know. But do faithful people who believe in Jesus also get hurt?
Yes.
Absolutely. We are living on this kind of earth. So don't always read the conclusion that when someone is hurt, it's because they are sinners. Well, we are all sinners.
Sometimes God allows things to happen.
But there are afflictions that lead to glory. And there are affliction that is self-inflicted wounds that if it is not resolved and returned back to Jesus can turn to eternal doom. This is a fact. And the key is in our decisions. Here this woman, the Bible said, she was hurt by the spirit of infirmity 18 years and her body was very much caving in. And I have seen people like that back home in Egypt. Walking just all the way like that. And here is a woman who was hurt by this world of sin and by the enemy Satan. And she could not lift up herself at all. Now listen to this. And when Jesus saw her, that's why he came. He called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity.
Wow.
Jesus, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, will forever have the power and the authority to save from every sin and to save from every curse and symptom of sin. Satan cannot withstand the command of Christ. You know, this woman had a decision to make. When Jesus called her, there were lots of people around. There were those who loved Jesus and there were those who hated Jesus. And she can sense that. But when he called upon her heart to come, she could have decided to go the other way. Every human being, regardless of what their faith, even the atheist, even the most wicked will hear the voice of Jesus again and again and again and again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. The decision of eternity, whether it is eternal life or eternal death, will not be made actually by Christ. It will be made by every human being. Christ will only seal it. Every human being will be given the opportunity to experience the love of God every day. You know, if God is one of those God of wrath, all of us would have vanquished a long time ago. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Does God still bless the Hindus and the Muslims and the Jews just like us? Does He give them eyes to see, ears to hear, food and raiment and jobs and homes and shelter just like us? Our God isn't the God of blessing humanity. But as to the experience on earth and the quality of our life we will experience on this earth, and as to the decision thereafter, will be made by each and every human being. We as human beings can choose, like this woman, to come toward Jesus just as we are. I cannot do anything good, neither for me, nor for my family, nor for anybody. It's true. I cannot do anything good unless the Holy Spirit give me strength and power and help me to do that which is right and good. But even though I try and I experience the blessings of goodness and the blessings of righteousness, daily I find myself also struggling with the curse of sin. I cannot do it. Jesus said, without me you can't do it, says the man of truth. But I am relieved by that. When Jesus calls me to come, I come. Every day I pray for myself and others. As I pray for my salvation and transformation, I pray for the salvation and transformation of others. That is an abundant life. What you're really saying is, I have experienced the unconditional, deep, healing love of God for me, and my goal is to pass it on to as many people as I can. So our life can be constantly transformed and changed and blessed. God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in His time. You know, I'm very sure that parents would like to bestow great many blessings upon their children, but they recognize that they don't have the skill or the experience or the knowledge to really handle the responsibility thereof. Is that true? I am sure, Marge and Peter, that you probably wanted your kids to drive long before they asked to make things easier for them and for you. But you recognize that there is a certain time and a certain way where you can feel safe that they can handle the responsibility. And that is how it works with our relationship with Jesus. He is not going to give me a gift unless He knows that with His help I can handle it right. In His time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. And while I am waiting, like Charlie Elliott, He is able to manifest Himself to me, in me, and through me unto others in a mighty, powerful way. And this woman decided to come, and Jesus decided to heal her from her physical infirmity when He rebuked the evil spirit that caused her infirmity. But here is the problem. Verse 13 it says, and He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I'm very grateful for that. He touched me and made me whole. He touched me and made me whole. The touch of the Holy Spirit upon the heart, mind, bodies, and life of humanity cannot be compared. All what it is, just accept the invitation of Jesus to take control. Don't be afraid. I have talked to some people. I was in the same predicament years ago as well. I have talked to some people who were going through some difficult time and conflict and wanted certain things. And I asked him, did you spend time in prayer? He said, I cannot pray because I know the Lord is not going to answer me. I said, well, whom did you share this with? He said, well, I shared it with my brother and I shared it with my friends and now I'm sharing it with you. I said, well, you feel the safety and the freedom to share this information with me, who cannot help you fulfill it, with your brothers and others, and for some reason you think God doesn't know about it, and you don't feel the safety and the comfort to talk to him about it anywhere. Well, I was told that if it is not something you think God is going to give, don't ask for it. That is not what Jesus said. It's amazing. I know that that is kind of a foreign theology. Jesus said ask, and he didn't say what you should ask for. He said seek. And he didn't tell you what to seek for. And he said knock. He has directed our heart and mind and soul toward heaven. Toward him who knows everything from the inside out. As we can confide in other human beings, we can surely confide in God, who can truly understand us, truly love us, and truly help us at all times, unconditionally. Because we are the workmanship of his hand, furnished and created unto all good things, but we cannot do it in our own. I'm very grateful that this woman came just as she is. Jesus touched her, Jesus healed her, and then she began to glorify God. There is an immediate change in the state of the heart. We should be able to come to Christ with all of our cares, with all of our wants, with all of our desires, and just leave it to him. He is able to save us to the uttermost. He is able to change our desires and our minds with our own persuasion. Jesus will never ever impose his love and his will upon us. That's why I worship him. That's why I worship him. It's freedom. He came to set us free from the bondage of sin and guilt and shame and all the fears and the infirmities of sin. You see, Satan tried to lock us in. But it is our decision to be set free. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, right now, you are not really bound, but by what other people think of you. Unimportant. Once upon a time, what other people think of us was signifying who we are. And I hope we are redeemed of that. It's not important. It is very important for me to know who I am in truth and who Jesus is in truth. That I am a sinner and Jesus is my Savior. That I am nothing and he is everything. That my life has been preserved because of the love of God and has been transformed and in the process of sanctification because Jesus is my Savior. And as Jesus was loved and hated, Jesus said, you will face the same dilemma. There will be those who love you and those who hate you. Those who will think you're great and those who will you think you're nothing. Neither these nor that nor these will ever make a difference in your life. Because the soul is filled by the presence of God. So here it is. A woman has been touched, has been healed. Her heart is being transformed. Now she is glorifying God and she doesn't care who thinks what. But there were some people standing there. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. It is kind of ironic that here is humanity colliding with the God of life. Some accept, be helped, be healed, be transformed, And some are resisting, rejecting, and fighting the love of God. Does that exist today?
Yes.
What is so ironic? That these are the religious leaders of the church at the time. And as Jesus said, many of us pastors and many of us in many different denominations can put some very heavy yokes and burdens on God's people. You know, here is the issue of the Sabbath day. The synagogues was going by rules and regulations. They have made up some of these rules and regulations to bring the people under their own constraints. But they never wanted to deal with their inner souls. Many of these people, and perhaps this very woman, have gone to the synagogue many a times during the 6 days of the week, and they could not heal her. That's what the custom is there. And she probably wondered, what is wrong with her? That she has gone to the synagogue all of this time, and they couldn't heal her, and now on the seventh day Sabbath, she comes and Jesus heals her. That opened lots of wounds and make lots of people question the leadership of the church. And they went right away on the defense. They said, guys, you should not asking to be healed on the Sabbath day. You should have come to us during the 6 days of the week. The heart is being hardened. You know, there's something important about the seventh day Sabbath. There's no question about it. I want to go quickly to the days of creation because I want to highlight something. This is not the day when I'm going to be talking about which is the Sabbath day and which is not. But it is very important to understand why Jesus performed this miracle on the Sabbath day. Let us go to the book of Genesis and let us go to chapter 2, the second chapter in the Bible. Something important about the seventh day. You know, remember, because many people said, oh, the 7 days for the Jews.
Really?
On the days of creation, there were no Jews. There were no nations. And then I know Christians who talk about the 6 days of creation. I was surprised to hear that. What happened to the seventh day?
God rested.
Let us read that a little bit here. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, made it holy. Because that is in it, he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Here's what is interesting about that. Throughout human history, there were many kingdoms that ruled the earth. From the Egyptian to the Babylonian to the Persian to the Medo-Persian, you know, many. And the Roman Empire, many empires rule the world, and some of them change in the annual cycle from 360 to 365. But there is one thing that never changed throughout the history of humanity. The seventh day of the week exists in every history, in every country, and in every faith. Everyone is still counting the first, the second, the third, the fourth, but they give it different names. All humanity is living by 7 days a week. But the seventh day has been ignored, and that's the reason why the Jewish leaders try to make out of it something that is not. God created the seventh day. And then he said he sanctified it. My experience is, and some people decide that Sunday is their seventh day, other Wednesday of their seventh day. I'm not going to get into this argument today, okay? As long as you believe with all your heart and mind and soul that this is your seventh day, make sure you got the right knowledge, okay? Because some people have their own calendar. In France, the first day of the week is Monday. So, okay? So, as long as in your heart you believe this is the seventh day, you must never discount the great power that God bestows upon His people on the seventh day. Healing is one of these. And I have seen that with my own eyes throughout the years of my life. You know, if the person believes that Monday is their seventh day, and they are going to the house of God and trying to live the blessings of the Sabbath day, the blessings of God is sure. For me, always been the seventh day. Okay, if I call Sunday the first day, then my seventh day is Saturday. And this is the time when I feel enriched by the Spirit to receive the fullness of God's blessing and pass it unto others. But also, I do the same on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. However, the seventh day or the Sabbath day is different because I don't do the same kind of work I do during other week that has taken toll upon my heart and mind and emotions. The seventh day is the sign to replenish our energies spiritually and mentally and physically, socially and emotionally. And if you look at the life of Jesus Himself in the New Testament, and if you look at the life of the prophets in the Old and the apostles in the New Testament, that's how it worked. God blessed and sanctified the Sabbath day. The problem with the Jews at that time, that they knew what the seventh day is and they called it the right name. However, they made it such a painful burden. They have actually eliminated all the powers and the blessings of the Sabbath day by following, as Jesus said, their traditions. And Jesus came to correct their thoughts. He went to the synagogue, the Bible said, as it was His custom on the Sabbath day, and stood up to preach. They believed in that. But they did not believe that anything should happen after church. And you cannot turn on a fire, you cannot turn on the light, you cannot walk certain miles. They made it such a gruesome thing.
Yeah.
And here, of course, they have seen the power of God manifested on Christ. And here it is, a woman that has been infirmed by the enemy for 18 years, called by Jesus to come, touched and healed and restored. And that's why all of God's people throughout the world who believe on a Sabbath day should be experiencing the same. So here it is, they began to try to steal the hearts of people away from Christ. And in verse 15, the Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead them away to watering?" He said, you know, you have your own animals that you use during the week to earn your labor. You don't lead them to drink water. You don't do good on the Sabbath day. Of course they do. He knew what they were doing. And he said, it's quite hypocritical that you do something and you require others to do something else. Okay, so he continues here and he said to them, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan," here it is, "has bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day?" And in the book of Luke, and also in the book of Matthew, Jesus told his disciples and the Pharisees and the high priest, it is lawful and good to do good on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath was not made for man, was not made for the Sabbath, but for the Sabbath was made for man. The word Sabbath means rest. Rest to our weary souls. Rest to all infirmities, to all hurts. Because you lay down your burden, all of it, whatever it is, at the feet of Jesus. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore he said that the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath day. And who is the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of the Sabbath day, and he tried to portray this in his life on earth, and he tried to convince them that he came to loose the burdens of God's children and those who've been captive to Satan to be set free. Now, I'm not here to kind of let you believe what I believe. You know, you got to go home and do what the disciples did. They examined the Bible to see whether the things are so. Throughout the gospel, many miracles happen on the Sabbath day. But Jesus also performed many miracles during out the week. But the Sabbath day, the seventh day, from the days of creation, God have set apart and aside. It is the only day that the Bible said God sanctified and made holy. And then when he had a people called the people of Israel, he gave them the Ten Commandments. And what does the first commandment say?
I am thy Lord.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, neither thee nor anyone within thy gates, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant. For God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the blessings of creation, he passed it to his people. The prophets in the Old Testament and the people of God kept it holy. When Jesus came on earth, he showed us how to keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy. And the apostles thereafter, there was something special about that day. But there's a controversy on the world, and there is different denomination over these issues. It was not designed to be so. I worship God on Sunday as well. And I go to churches on Sunday as well. I go to churches on Wednesday and on Thursday. But you got to believe in your heart why God created the Sabbath day, the seventh day, and you got to decide in your heart you don't want to forfeit the blessing thereof. If you believe in the love of Jesus, there is healing power. There is healing power and blessing one cannot attain unless he understands the blessing that God had bestowed upon that special day. You know, I visited a church on Sunday, and the pastor was preaching on the same issue. He told the people, Saturday is the biblical Sabbath. I'm sure you heard that before. And he said that he keeps Sunday as his biblical Sabbath. And he told them, as long as you choose a day to make it your Sabbath day, that is very important, but you cannot live without. I don't have any controversy or argument with people over this issue. I follow what I believe what the Bible is saying. I am not there to tell others what they should and should not do. That's not my job. But I'm there to share the blessings of God as it is given to me. And right here, the Lord is correcting not the right day of worship, but the attitude toward the right day of worship. Verse 17, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Jesus. You know, here we look at this woman who has been under the control of Satan for how many years?
18.
And we see that the love of God has been steadfast for her.
In her heart.
Man looks on the outside, the Bible said, but God ponders the heart. And in this world, many children and many people have been hurt by Christian churches, by Christian parents, or by friends, and they kind of become disgruntled with the idea of God. because of how they were abused when they were kids, or because how the church treated them, just like the synagogue. Do's and don'ts. They never experienced that mighty personal touch of God's love in their life. But what is sad sometimes, that even though the Lord has still been calling upon all of these people who have been hurt, I am your Father. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have thought of you, thought of peace to prosper you. Even though the Lord has been calling upon them throughout the years, they were turning deaf ears. They preferred, it is more comfortable to become a victim, because I know how to deal with that. I don't know how it is to become a victor. But what is sad is this, and I see it in the life of many, especially those I visit at Eden Hospital in critical care units. They come from every walk of life. I see the Muslim, I see the Jewish, I see the Buddhist, the Hindu, I see Christian from different organizations, and I also see the atheist. I see the poor, I see the rich, and as I shared with some of you yesterday, in one place, there is a homeless person who haven't taken a shower for many weeks, lying in the same bed next to someone who is a multimillionaire. This is called the moment of truth. The moment of truth. That even at that very moment of great crisis, that very moment of uncertainty, I have seen the love of Jesus steadfast and strong offered to everybody. But I have also seen how many accepted finally. And I have seen how few, thank God, rejected again. I'm very grateful that this blessed woman have accepted the invitation of Jesus even after 18 years of oppression by Satan. I'm very thankful that the Lord preserved her life and gave her grace and strength for 18 years to suffer affliction. One of the ladies I visit in nursing homes in San Lorenzo, she has been on her back, lying in this bed for 14 years. I've just seen her again. I try to see her once a week. I've just seen her again yesterday. Never ever did I hear her complain. And she tells me, Pastor, I'm not going to ask you how you're doing, because every time I ask you, I know your answer. She said, I learned also to say, when people ask me, that I am blessed and thankful.
Hopeful.
Prayerful. And hopeful. You know, it's amazing. I have a problem sleeping on my back at night, and I don't have physical infirmity.
Really?
As you know, I injured my shoulder very badly, and I sleep on that side a lot, even though it is healing. I went to sleep on my bed last 3 days, thank God, after 2 weeks of sleeping on the recliner. When I went to sleep on the bed, I sleep on my back, and I find myself tired. And after 45 minutes, I can no longer sleep on my back. I have to turn to the right.
Right.
And then turn to the left. This woman and many like her are heroes of faith to me. Just heroes. You know, when you go and visit them, it is not that you have something better than they are and you are somehow lavishing them with something they don't have. As a matter of fact, if you look at it the right way, they are more heroes of faith than I am. And I often ask myself the question, Lord, I don't know. How will I ever survive if I was in her place? For 10 years. And her life came very close 4 years ago. And after prayer, the Lord revived her again. And we keep talking about the grace of God and how He has been sustaining her in the last 14 years. And I asked her if she is losing hope. She said no, because I realize now that my presence in this bed is not just about me. first Christ is in me, if he wants to give me another day of life, I'm going to live it to the fullest. But it's also about everybody else that come to help me. I spend time praying for all of the nurses and all of the doctors and the staff. And Pastor, I pray for you and your family as well. So her life, even though it may appear to the outsider as disabled, yet to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ,
able.
Her life is very able. Because eventually, all of us will rest in peace if Jesus did not come in the clouds of glory while we're alive. And when Jesus comes, the Bible said that we will be transformed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of God, when that trump shall resound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they shall be changed along with us who are alive. The earthly shall put on the heavenly. The corrupt body shall put on the incorrupt. The mortal shall put on immortality. And we shall receive a glorious eternal body as of that of Jesus. Until then, we journey on in this vessel of honor that God has given us. And this vessel is kind of sailing through the stormy sea of life. Waves are going to come. Sometime we're going to sail in smooth water. Sometimes some waves is going to hit that boat right and left. Sometimes we may hit a little rock somewhere that will slow us down. Sometime the vessel will experience some damage and will be in need of some repair. Sometimes the vessel will need change of some parts. We journey on. In Christ Jesus the Lord, there is no such a thing as disability. His strength is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul said, he himself, as an apostle who prayed and healed the sick, he also prayed and raised someone from the dead. He had that power in him. He said, the messenger of Satan buffeted me, lest I should be exalted above all measure. Satan came and touched his body. And he said, I had a thorn in the flesh.
Yes.
Some kind of a sickness in his body, in which we don't know exactly what. And he said, I prayed unto the Lord thrice, that it be taken away from me. And yet the Lord said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul responded to that and said, therefore, I take pleasures in my infirmities, in my necessities, in my reproaches, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That was the message of Charlotte Elliot. You know, when we got some pain and discomfort, we fret and we become upset and we lose it all. We don't understand that God allows that for our own good and blessing. Because sometimes and often, please hear this, sometimes and often, we are so spoiled through the blessings that God has given us. We spoil the blessings rotten. This means it rottens our good character. And it steals away the joy of life. That is why it is healthy. It is good to come to Jesus every day just as we are. Sinner rich, that is fine. Just as we are. Come to Jesus just as we are. Conflicted, come to Jesus as you are. Sick, come to Jesus as you are. In need, in want, right and wrong desire, come to Jesus just as you are. And he is able to do all things right and well for those who call upon his name. Let us in conclusion sing that song together, Just As I Am. You know, there's a red hymnal here. There's more in the other room. Andrew, can you get some more? They're right there outside in the kitchen. And let us open 260. The Stanford family may need one or two. There you go. 260.
You're not kissing?
Oh, I know the word.
Passage equal to 60. And let us do 1 and 3 and 5. Just as I am. I'm sure many of us have heard that song, if not all of us. And I'm sure each one of you may have had an experience with that song. Now that we know the author of the song, it may mean something a little bit different to us. She was an invalid. As a matter of fact, the hymnal that she wrote is called the Hymn of the Invalid. That was the hymnal that was developed by her. And the church used it as the hymnal of the invalid. So let us read one of her testimonies, Just As I Am. Let's sing it together. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come. Just as I am, the wealth received, welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O love of God. Stand just as we are and surrender all our lives to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your eternal love that never ceases for us, our families, the church, and all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Thank you for your healing power that have found us years ago. Thank you for working in us a work of salvation, life more abundantly and life eternal, even though we have moments of conflicts, moments of warfare, moments of doubts, that there is no doubt about your love for us. We come to you just as we are, conflicted, in need, in want. You know all about us, and we cannot trust ourselves or anybody else over our own inner needs. We trust you to take complete control. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. May your holy love steer us in the straight and narrow path of life and blessing. And may your redeeming love secure our salvation and life eternal in and through Jesus' name. In his name do we trust and pray. Amen. Amen.